This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels, eHealth Radio. Gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we're speaking with Alicia Mupin, Deputy Managing Director of Aster DM Healthcare, one of the largest private healthcare service providers operating in multiple GCC states, and also India with 27 hospitals, 115 clinics, and more than 223 pharmacies in 7 countries. And Alicia, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Really excited to be here with you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, certainly our honor and pleasure to have you with us, and thanks so much for your time. So for starters, if you would, and to lay the groundwork, tell us a little bit about your background to kick things off today.
Great. So to give you a bit of a background, I am a chartered accountant. I qualified in the UK from the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Scotland. I worked with Ernst & Young. I was actually studying in the US for a while, so I was in Ann Arbor. So nice and cold. I did a degree in finance and accounting. I also have a degree in global leadership and public policy change from Harvard. At this point in time, and for the last 9 years, I've actually been managed. I've got into healthcare. I manage Aster DM Healthcare, where we are headquartered in Dubai, where we have a large presence in the GCC as well as in India. One of my major responsibilities is strategic direction, development, looking at new markets, and, you know, quite excited to talk to you about what we are thinking about in the Cayman Islands as well. I'm also a trustee on the foundation, the Aster Foundation that we have, and involved in the social welfare through our key program called Aster Volunteers. More recently, I've been chosen to join the board of TLI, which is Thought Leadership and Innovation Foundation, which is a not-for-profit organization, works in sort of looking at healthcare globally. I'm also a member of World Economic Forum. I'm a young global leader, joined them 4 years ago as well. So that's a bit of a background of myself.
And certainly an impressive background, and thanks for hitting some of the highlights there. Now, how did you actually get involved with the Thought Leadership and Innovation Foundation, known also as the TLI Foundation, as an executive with Aster DM Healthcare? Touch on that if you would.
Sure. So we've been in healthcare for the last 30 years as an organization. It's our 35th year, actually, this year. And the whole idea for us and the mission for Aster has been, how do you bring quality, affordable, accessible healthcare to the population we serve? And we actually probably serve around 20 million patients annually, which is a reasonably large number. So when we look at the healthcare issues globally, we see same consistent challenges that are there across the globe, right? But you don't see a real collaboration that happens between health systems. So when I got introduced to TLI, I was really drawn by their vision, which especially post-COVID becomes really relevant. It was really about creating health data models, how to build a more equitable and stronger healthcare future, really focusing on behavioral health and chronic diseases. Now, this, I think, is the future of healthcare. So for me, it was a cause that I was really driven and close to, because at the end of the day, and I think COVID has really kind of made us all realize that's the key priority, right? It starts with health and then moves to everything. So the TLI really seems to focus within that, how to have global health models, how to collaborate, how to exchange the best ideas from different health models, what we can learn from the West, what is my experience in the East, and what we have done at Aster, and kind of bridge that gap as we are looking at also building our facility in the Western Hemisphere in the Cayman Islands.
And from what I'm understanding, certainly making an impact through this foundation. Now, taking that even further, what will be the role as a board member for the TLI Foundation in connection with your Aster work?
So I think they've done some incredible work, and some of their key projects has been sort of looking at the building the National Limb Loss and Preservation Registry, which is something that they worked on with Mayo Clinic for the last many years. It's an organization that's been there for the last decade, and they And there's a lot of work that's, again, happening on the chronic disease management, and there's a lot of work that's happening around mental health. So my particular role will focus on looking at really expanding the scope and reach of these TLI programs globally. So in this part of the world that we have access to, where we are in 6 countries, how is it that we can look at some of these best practices, look at the regenerative medicine, look at chronic disease, which is a rising issue across the globe, look at the limb, the great work that's been done on the limb loss registry, autism, rehabilitative medicine, as well as more recently, I think the impact of COVID-19 and largely around workforce management and workers' migration as well.
Now, getting back to Aster DM Healthcare, could you provide our listeners with more information on Aster and its worldwide reach? Take that further, if you would.
Sure, Eric. So Aster DM Healthcare, like I mentioned to you, we started in 1987, so 35-year running. We started by my father. He's a doctor, so Dr. Azad Moopen. He's the current chairman and managing director for the company. And we see around 20 million patients. So the whole idea of Aster was, how do we create a completely seamless integrated healthcare ecosystem? So we started with clinics, and then we realized that patients needed medication. So we opened up pharmacies, and then we realized that sometimes there's a requirement for advanced care, and we opened up hospitals. We started with secondary care, tertiary, and now we do quaternary care as well. So the whole idea is, if there is a requirement, and all of us have these requirements as far as healthcare is concerned, we should have the full end-to-end care within healthcare at Aster DM Healthcare. So we've got clinics, pharmacies, as well as hospitals, and we do the full discipline of multi-specialty care with subspecialties in most of our global centers of excellence, which is oncology, cardiology, neurosciences, and transplants. And like I mentioned, all the secondary care as well. So we have close to 365 facilities, which is a large network of pharmacies and then clinics as well as hospitals. We have around 21,000 employees, almost 3,000 doctors, and of course the focus area for us is really delivering clinical excellence, the highest standards, and really kind of setting benchmarks in this process. I think coming from sort of the East and being having a large presence in India as well as in the Middle East, for us, it's also a lot about frugal innovation. How do you deliver quality care at the best value for money? So we do sort of focus a lot on innovation. We do focus a lot on sort of looking at the value of care while maintaining the best and highest clinical standards and outcomes. We are also actually heavily invested in CSR activities and volunteering work. We have a huge group of people. We call it a movement. We call ourselves Aster Volunteers, and the whole idea is volunteering your time as well as sort of resources to really engage and embed ourselves with the local communities. How do you kind of create a best awareness for healthcare? How is it that you can support local communities as well as disenfranchised communities where there's a challenge as far as access to health is concerned? So we have around 25 mobile vans that go around, does testing, get people in different villages across different parts of India, Africa. We run refugee camps in Syria. We're doing some work in Yemen, in Ethiopia. So we try to really kind of extend beyond the boundaries of where we have physical presence as far as healthcare infrastructure is when it comes to our CSR work.
I know we're halfway into our session together here today, but I'm sure our audience is quite impressed with the impact and the ability and what's going on with Aster DM Healthcare globally. I know that I certainly am quite impressed and pleased to hear this fantastic report so far. Today we're with Alicia Moopen, Deputy Managing Director of Aster DM Healthcare, one of the largest private healthcare service providers operating in multiple GCC states and India. And she's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Healthcare and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, what are your expansion plans in the Western Hemisphere and also the Cayman Islands project?
Oh, this is super interesting, Eric, actually. So one of the key things I must say before I talk to you about the Cayman Islands is with COVID, we really do think that the boundaries have been blurred, right? So as far as telehealth is concerned, we have seen a huge explosion. It's a new era of healthcare. Healthcare has changed for better. Healthcare has changed indefinitely. But having said that, a large part of healthcare that's changed is in the primary care. You will still need to go into visit facilities for your hospital care, for some of the testing. So what we are really excited with, we have recently signed a long-term agreement with Cayman Island government, and the idea is to build the Aster Cayman Med City, as well as an assisted living and independent living facility. And in phase three, also a medical university. We are looking at a 40 acres of land in West Bay. So the first phase will focus on building a multi-specialty hospital, which would be around 160 bed, focusing on tertiary and quaternary care, focusing on oncology, focusing on cardiology, focusing on orthopedics, bariatric, and a whole lot of wellness. I think there is now a renewed and a focused attention a lot of us have on wellness. So we want to be able to use Cayman, which is a beautiful island where there's a whole lot of tourism that comes in, and kind of couple it with wellness as well as health tourism. So it's very strategically chosen because it's very close to the USA mainland, just a 90-minute flight from Miami. So it would really cater, other than to the Caymanians and the Caribbean islands, we really want to also focus on the American patients as well as people from Canada. It's a beautiful island, safe island, and really the whole vision was to try and make it a destination for healthcare. How is it that we can have easy, quick access to quality healthcare closer to home? Because now with, unfortunately, with the pandemic, the backlog of cases is so extended. We're talking about a couple of years to clear some of the backlog. You're talking about people kind of really also having access to data, knowing that maybe if there is a treatment that's available at par or even better, close by, gaining that comfort that you can go see, you can see your doctor online, then go visit the facility, do a procedure, continue your follow-up post-op care as well, and be connected to that same physician throughout. So I think this was really our vision with Aster Cayman Islands. So the whole idea was to bring the three decades of Aster's legacy, bring the whole premium quality care to this completely new region where we feel really strongly well-placed for.
Also, Alicia, if you would, give our listeners the timeline for launch and overview of services and how your services expand the options for more affordable quality care. I'm sure listeners would be interested to hear some details there.
Yeah, so we're kind of being as nimble as possible, but of course the pandemic has put a little bit of spoke on our timelines. We are still hoping and hopeful that we will be able to break ground by the end of this year, if not very early next year, and then assuming a 18 to 20 months construction period. So I do hope that 2023 we will be launching the project. We're quite excited and moving fast. I think the island is also sort of very close to opening up in the next few weeks, so we can get on the ground running with it as soon as that happens. I think all of us are sort of making sure that the local communities are safe, the inoculation and the vaccination drives are successful, and we feel that we had to sort of wait that time both in our local markets as well as at the Cayman, and things seems to be, we're getting the ball rolling now. Some of the key services that we will have are a lot of surgical specialties. So we're talking cardiac, bariatric, orthopedics, and also, of course, the basic programs that the local population will require: ENT, endocrinology, dental, dermatology. So those are ones which are our core competencies. Having said that, we have been speaking and working very closely with the government. There are some services which are not available locally. For example, NICU. They were talking about how sometimes they have premature deliveries and they're having to airlift these babies over to the US. And we said, you know what? I mean, having those families getting uprooted, it's such a difficult time. It's very hard for the families, and it's also very expensive. So we're also hoping that we'll be able to set up a tertiary care and ICU, which will enable families to have the right support and the right infrastructure within the Cayman Islands. So we will be offering many clinical life-saving procedures. We also really address a lot of the critical healthcare needs of a lot of the underserved populations, as I mentioned to you, you know, the work that we do across the globe. So again, with this in the Caymans, we do want to also have a focus on replicating what kind of support and what kind of subsidized procedures that we can do for people where affordability is an issue. It is very close to our mission. You know, our chairman always says, for us in healthcare, profit is a byproduct. We think about what the patient needs, we do that, and we know that the rest of the business will remain sustainable and will make sense for us. So it's really about the mission and the cause of what we do and why we do it.
Also, if you would, touch on some examples of ways that Aster DM has helped undeserved populations, particularly children in need. I'm sure this would be some good information to hear a report on as well.
Eric, those are countless stories. I mean, on a daily basis, what we have is a lot of our doctors who dedicate their time and do surgeries without any sort of expectations of salary in return. We have partnered with our suppliers so that if there are requirements for consumables, implants, how is it that we can subsidize it? So there's a strict criteria for eligibility because we want to make sure that we are subsidizing and sponsoring treatment for those patients who don't have access, who don't have the funds to pay for it. So we do make sure that it goes to the right people, but we especially focus on sponsoring cases which are very niche and which are our clinical competence. So when we're talking about neurosurgery, brain tumor, I mean, recently we did this surgery, I must tell you about it. It was a 16-year-old girl and she had this massive tumor. It was a size of, it was 8 pounds big, like almost like a football on her neck. And she lived for like 10 years with this, right? So we did this again with some crowdfunding, with completely subsidizing it from our end. So there are hundreds of stories like this where we believe that we just need to help the people. We have the expertise from the health professional side. We have committed doctors and staff who want to do this for those who need it the most. So really we do hundreds of surgeries almost on an annual basis, which are focused also on children, because I think making sure that children have that right start in life and making healthcare as equitable as possible, that's really kind of a goal for us, and it's a personal goal for me. How do you get universal healthcare access? And it needs to start with the children. They need to start off in the best foot forward.
Well, I certainly appreciate that example. And like you said, I'm sure you have a host of many more examples you could share. But thanks for that. And thanks for all the information you've shared today on Aster DM and the foundation as well. In conclusion, and better to understand further, are your services available to worldwide audiences? And how many people typically take advantage of medical value travel to Aster DM hospitals? Get into that as we conclude today.
Of course, yeah. I mean, in both parts of the key regions that we're in, both in India and GCC, we see almost 15% of our business coming from international patients. Of course, this number has changed drastically since COVID and travel restrictions have set in, but we do expect that to kind of normalize over the next few months. When you look at GCC and especially Dubai being such a hub for tourism and with the kind of infrastructure that's been built here, as well as the safety kind of comfort that tourists have, again, we are a hub for medical tourism within this region. And we've served actually almost 153 nationalities because it's such a cosmopolitan society. We've also recently launched actually a a medical travel website, just to make sure that everybody can go in and get access to whether they want to come to Dubai. And we've got 2-3 brands within Aster. So at a different price point, if you want a more premium service, finding a Medicare facility, if it's a more of a budget, then finding a different option. So we try to make that whole end-to-end process for a patient as easy as possible and welcome them as our own.
Again, Alicia, we can't thank you enough for what you do through Aster DM Healthcare and also for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Tell our listeners where they can get more information on Aster DM Healthcare and how they could be in contact as needed. Where's the best place online to do so?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Eric. Thank you so much for having me. Of course, the whole world is online now. We've got everything available. In fact, even when you talk about our telehealth services, we've got around 800 doctors that are connected online. We're all about making healthcare accessible. So it's a very exciting future for us and for healthcare.
And it certainly is. Again, listeners, for more information and details, visit AsterDMHealthcare.com. Alicia, all the best, and hopefully we can get you back on in the future for an update right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Eric.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Alicia Moopen, the Deputy Managing Director of Aster DM Healthcare, one of the largest private healthcare service providers operating in multiple GCC states and India, with 27 hospitals, 115 clinics, and more than 223 pharmacies in 7 countries. And for all the details, once again, visit AsterDMHealthcare.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.